Wonderful. Thank you, Sister Cheryl.
You're welcome.
Welcome to Mountain State Baptist Church, Seeker Sunday School class. Have you been reading the Bible every day, praying every day? If you read your Bible through this year, you can come to the Bible Readers Banquet free of charge. It'll be on a January Friday night, cold, but there'll be fun, food, and fellowship. We've been in the book of John for a while. One thing we learned is Helen Keller said the Bible's the only way out of the dark. And we're learning that. I'm learning it more and more every day. Remind me where Matthew starts.
In Bethlehem.
Someone new. Remind me where Mark starts. Bethlehem's right. Someone new. Remind me where Luke starts. Bethlehem. Well, somebody tell me where John starts. In the beginning. That's right. Where else does he start?
In the bosom.
He was in the bosom of the Father. That's right. Brother Dave, would you pray for us, please? Sister Cheryl sang, "You've never failed like me, like I've failed you." And right off the bat, Brother Rick needs to apologize, make a correction, a retraction from last week. If you weren't here last week, we were in St. John chapter 1, verse 12. But as many as received him, and we stressed the point several times over and over that the way you get saved is to receive Christ. And it was not by giving Him your heart. And then I found this verse this week, Proverbs 23:26. It really doesn't change that. Can you find Proverbs 23:26? I didn't put it on your paper. We also had a list of things that God gives us. Then we had a list of things that we give God. And I'm not changing. Look here. My son, give me thine heart. What about that?
Yeah.
Right off the bat, Brother Rick contradicted that. So Brother Rick's got to be wrong. But it's very obvious right there, it's for sons. See, all there is sons and sinners. And I know we're saved. There's saved sinners. We're all saved sinners. I hope we're all saved. There's only sons and sinners is all there is. And he's talking to sons. So it looks like this verse should have went on that list of things that saints give God.
Right.
And I should have had it at the top, really. So after we get saved, we can give him our heart.
Right.
Proverbs 23:26. My son, give me thine heart. Now, also, as soon as I found that later in the week, but as soon as I went home, I opened up a book, try to keep a good book to read. This is by C.H. McShaney. And it's in Genesis, but it's talking about giving and receiving. If you'll bear with me, I'll read you this paragraph. And it backs up that the way we get saved is we receive Christ.
Right.
Consider, I was so amazed as soon as I went home and opened it up, and here's what it said. Man, that's lost man, natural man, would fain make God a receiver instead of a giver, but this cannot be. For it is more blessed to give than receive. And assuredly, God must have the more blessed place. Here's another example he gives. Without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. Who hath first given to him? See, I don't have anything to give to him. He had to give it to me first.
Yeah.
God can accept the smallest gift from the heart that has learnt the deep truth contained in these words. Of thine own have we given thee. But the moment a man presumes to take the place of the first giver, God's reply is, if I were hungry, would I tell thee? For he is not worshipped with men's hands as though he needeth anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. The great giver, capital G, of all things cannot possibly need anything. Praise is all that we can offer to God. And we read some verses about thanks, a lot of thankful things we can give him, and praise and glory. But this can be offered in the full and clear intelligence that our sins are all put away. Only sons can do that. And this, again, can only be known by faith in the virtue of an accomplished atonement. Only saved, only sons can give their heart to the Lord. But anyway, I'm sorry I didn't say that last week. We're in St. John chapter 1, in verse 17, we saw that the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Grace invites the sinner to come on in and offers a pardon and commends the Savior. Truth indicts the sinner, requires Calvary, and condemns the sinner. Full. Everything is in Christ. Jesus is God. I need Him. He doesn't need me. He was doing fine before I got here, and He'll be doing fine when I'm gone. I need Him. I need Him. He's everything. Our breath, our life. Verse 18. No man has seen God at any time. I'm in John 1. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. What He did was leave God, bring God out into the open so we could see what God was like. That's what Jesus did, so men could see Him. Jesus did not go to school to learn to be God. He was God. He was the Creator. He's the Creator. He is still the Creator. He's still God. Verse 19. John the Baptist is questioned by the religious leaders. Verse 19. And this is the record of John when Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" Well, you know, really, it's none of their business. These fellas got a nose problem, is what it is. It gets bigger on down through here. And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I'm not the Christ. And they asked him, what then? Art thou Elias? He said, no, I'm not Elias. And he saith, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, no. And then said they unto him, who art thou? They'll never learn well. And then, that we may give an answer to them that sent us. Well, so what? I don't care if you give them an answer or not. They had great stock in their authority and their hierarchy and their business, their rank. But John the Baptist was under a different authority. He wasn't under them. What sayest thou of thyself? He derived his authority from another source. It wasn't there. He wasn't too interested. Here's his denial and their demand. They said that we may give an answer to them that sent us. Who cares? Who cares? It's a nose problem. 23. He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. Well, a voice needs a word. Useless without a word. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Word. We read it in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, the capital W Word. And that's what John needed. That's what I need. They had misconceptions about the Messiah. Some thought they were so special that they had no sin or no need of salvation. They had a misconception. Some had heard that the Messiah had come already. But John's answer is honest and humble and holy. He said, I'm not him. I'm not the light. I'm the moon, that lunar rock that reflects the light. I don't have any light of my own. It's Jesus is the light of the world. Now let's check it out in Isaiah 40, verse 3. The Lord said it would happen. And again, Isaiah has 66 chapters. And chapter 40 would correspond with Matthew. And we'll read a verse in Matthew here in a minute. Isaiah 40, verse 3. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. And we see this in Matthew 3 when it happens. The Word of God is so intertwined that you can't change one word.
Right.
Matthew 3. Let's just start in verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, and make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea, and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. Back to John 1, verse 24. Now they're trying to get John in a corner. They keep at, who art thou? Who art thou? We want to give an answer to the bosses. Verse 24, and they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said to him, why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ or Elias, neither that prophet? And John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not.
Right.
He said, guess what? You don't know. You're ignorant. You're in the dark. You're yet in your sins. You're still in the dark. He said, you don't know him. He said, you don't know him. Jeremiah 9. Do you know him?
Yeah.
Do you know him? Yeah, amen.
Yes,
Jeremiah 9, Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. He said, you all don't know it. Right. That I am the Lord, the big Lord, the capital L Lord, capital O, capital R, capital D, Jehovah, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord, that we know Him. He wants us to know Him. He wants Brother Rick to know Him, to understand Him. The only way I'm going to understand Him is the Bible. The only way out of the dark is the Bible, is what Helen Keller said. That's the only way I'm going to understand. And he exposes them as ignorant, puts the ball in their court. He said, look, you're all blind. And you don't even... whom ye know not, he said, you don't know Him. They needed repentance, but more than repentance, they needed redemption. They needed to be born again. They needed to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Isaiah 43. Not the Lamb that they offered every day in the temple. They needed the Lamb of God. Isaiah 43:10. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know me, that ye may know, do you know Him this morning? That ye may believe me, that ye may receive me, and understand that I am He. He said, that's what you all need. You need to understand who He is. I'm glad I know who Jesus is. Before me, there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. The great I am is what we're talking about. He said, that's what you all need. Not the ordinary blood, not the blood of an ordinary lamb, but of the Lamb of God. He said, I'm the baptizer, is all I am. I'm not Elias, I'm not Messiah, I'm not that prophet, I'm not the light. I'm not John 1 again. He said, you need to know Him. You don't know. It's He whom thou knowest not. Verse 27 and 28, he's saying, I'm an unworthy servant. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latchet I am not worthy to unloose. I'm not worthy to untie his shoes. These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The Chinese have a picture alphabet. They use pictures. And for the word righteousness, they got the pronoun I over top of a picture of a lamb. We don't have any righteousness. Our righteousness is in the Lamb of God. John the Baptist was the son of a priest, and he knew about the temple and the rituals, the sacrifices, and the lambs. It was a lamb every morning and every evening. A lamb was sacrificed. 2 a day, 14 a week, 720 a year. Let's look at it in Exodus. Exodus 29:38-39. Now this is that which thou shalt offer upon the altar, 2 lambs for the first year, day by day, continually. The one lamb thou shalt offer in the morning, and the other lamb thou shalt offer at evening. John knew this. They did it even when people were starving. Even during wartime, when things were bad, they still sacrificed one lamb every morning and one lamb every evening. The lamb had to belong to the person that offered it. You can get in on this. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The lamb had to be free of blemishes. The rabbi had 73 things listed, kind of blemishes, that the lamb could not have. It had to be an absolutely perfect sacrifice. I want to go ahead and tell you, the Lord was perfect. The Lord is perfect. He was perfect. And He was kept up for 4 days. Exodus 12 and examined, like they did. I said 4:12. I think I meant 12:4. Exodus 12. Actually, 3 it starts off. Speaking unto all the congregation of Israel, saying in the 10th day. Now remember that. We'll come back to it. It's the 10th day of the month. They shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers. A lamb for a house. Hallelujah. Amen. And if the household be too little for the lamb, we move from a lamb to the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto the house, next unto his house, take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. It wasn't if the lamb was too small. The lamb will never be too small. He said if the house is too small, you go ahead and get your neighbor's house in there too, if you can get in there together. And if that's not enough, verse 5, your lamb. Is it your lamb? Is it personal or is it just a lamb or the lamb? Your lamb? Your lamb shall be without blemish. A male the first year, you shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day. How many we start with? 10 is right. 14 minus 10 is 4 days. They kept the lamb up for 4 days to see if there were any blemishes. 2 Peter. Chapter 3, verse 8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord, is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. There's 4,000 years between the Garden of Eden and Calvary. The Lord Jesus Christ was kept up for 4 days before he was sacrificed, and there was nothing wrong with him. There was no blemishes, none of the 73 blemishes. John 19:4, the perfect Lamb of God. John 19:4. Pilate therefore went forth again and said to them, behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him. The reason he didn't find no fault in him is there wasn't any. There wasn't any to find. Matthew 27:4. Matthew 27:4. Saying, I have sinned. This is Judas talking up in verse 3. The betrayer. Saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. That was all the innocent blood. Ever since Adam, every man's been born a sinner. The Lord Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. He got his blood from God. The Holy Ghost moved over Mary. And that was God's blood on the first Christmas morning. And on that first Easter morning, that was God's blood that ran down the cross. That was the innocent blood. That's all the innocent blood there's ever been. There'll never be any more. It's the Lamb of God. 1 Peter 1:18. First Peter 1:18 and 19. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. See, what makes something precious is if there's the fewer number there is. The Mona Lisa is precious because there's only one of them. If there's only one, then that's the most precious. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, the precious Lamb of God. Chapter 2, there in 1 Peter, verse 22. Who did no sin, talking about Christ up in verse 21, neither was any guile found in his mouth. Let's go back to John 1 now. Verse 29, I think, is where we're at. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold,
yeah.
That stresses the importance of it. Behold, the significance of it. Behold, the capital L Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He said, That's whom you all know not. You don't know Him. Do you know Him? I hope you know Him this morning. He's called the Lamb in the Old Testament 2 times, in the Gospel 2 times, once in Acts, once in the Epistles, 28 times in the book of Revelation. John said, Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. We was over in Italy there having lunch, and at number 7, I think it is, little John. He learned the importance of the word behold. He knew it was important. We was all gabbing like you do around the table. He said, Lo and behold! Everybody shuts up and looks at him. He said, Pass the ketchup. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Behold. Now, here's a problem stated in 30 and 31. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not. John said, Don't worry about it. He said, I was in the same shape. I didn't used to know him. He said, I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel, therefore am I come baptizing with water. He said, the Messiah's going to come. I know that. But I didn't know him. I just been looking for him like everybody else is. And that's a problem. That's a problem. 32 and 33. The Messiah, the real baptizer, who baptizes with the Spirit. 32. And John bare record saying, I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said to me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit, capital S Spirit, descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. See, Noah's dove that he sent out had been looking for a place to land. Ever since Adam fell, Adam's race, that dove been looking for a place to land and remain and stay on. And he never found anybody till the Lord Jesus Christ when he got baptized. And God told John the Baptist, this is him. That's Noah's dove still looking for him. He found him right there. The problem was Saul. It's the Son of God is who it is. And John recognized him. Verse 34, here's the problem solved. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. The capital S, Son of God. 1 John 5. He said, this is the record that this is the Son of God. 1 John 5. Let's just start in verse 9. If we receive the witness of men, if I tell you something, it's all right. I guess, maybe. It might be true. The witness of God is greater. It is true. For this is the witness of God which he hath testified of his capital, biggest Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. And he that believeth not God hath made him a liar. Why? Because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son, that this is the Son of God. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in being good. No? This life is putting money in the pot. And God hath given to us eternal life, and this is the record that it's in the baptistry. No, what if the baptistry blows up? And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. The capital S Son. He, verse 12, He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe. Anybody in here believe?
Yes,
on the name of the Son of God, that ye may K-N-O-W.
Yes.
That ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. That's the record.
Yes.
Right there. That's the record. And that solves the problem. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God.
Yes.
Verse 35 is the witness of Andrew. Starting at 35. Again, the next day, John stood and two of his disciples and looked upon Jesus as he walked, and he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God. He came and saw, he stood where the preaching was. The Bible, what gets them in. The preaching of the Word of God is what gets them in. Verse 37, he heard the Word and the preaching. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. I wonder who or what they follow when Rick speaks. You know, sometimes I brag on those Chevrolets. Maybe Remington. Who do they follow when I speak? Wonder who it is. Wonder who it is. 38, they follow. 38's the test. Then Jesus turned and saw them following and saith unto them, What seek ye? Why did you come this morning? I came for the mashed taters. Now really, my favorite's the gravy. Maybe the corn pone. Why did you come this morning? What are you seeking? What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? That's the test. Here's the teaching, 39. He saith unto them, Come and see. Come and see. And they came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. Let me go ahead and say, every time Jesus taught the lesson, everybody understood. Everybody got the lesson. Every time he taught a lesson, everybody understood. It's not like when I do it. It's not the same thing. Whom seek ye this morning? Some seek love, peace, fame, money, power. Whom seek ye this morning? Let's look at it in Isaiah 55:6. I'm slow, but I'm old. Kind of makes up for it. 55:6, seek ye the Lord. How about that? That'd be good advice. Looks like a commandment, really. Imperative sense. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Luke 17:33. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose it shall preserve it. Philippians 2:21. What are you seeking this morning? What am I seeking? Philippians 2:21. For all seek their own. See, I got a belly too. I got a self too. And I'm not kidding about the corn pone. I'm already looking for it. For all seek their own and not the things which are Jesus Christ. Whom seek ye? Well, when? When am I going to seek? Matthew 6:33. You probably got it memorized. Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first. Before breakfast? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. When am I going to seek, Brother Rick? Psalm 63. Psalm 63, verse 1. O God, Thou art my God, early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee, my flesh longeth for Thee, in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. And 1 Chronicles 16:11. When am I going to seek? 1 Chronicles 16:11. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face continually. Continually. What am I going to seek? Psalm 34:14. Depart from evil, do good, seek peace and pursue it. Psalm 119:45. What am I going to seek? 119:45. And I will walk at liberty, for I seek Thy precepts, the Bible, the only way out of the dark. Proverbs 2. What am I going to seek? Proverbs 2, 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Yes. Helen Keller had it nailed down, didn't she? Amos 5. Amos 5:4. For thus saith the Lord unto the house of Israel, seek ye me, and ye shall live. Oh, boy. That's pretty good. But seek not Bethel, or enter into Gilgal, and pass not to Beersheba or Gilgal. For Gilgal shall surely go into captivity, and Bethel shall come to naught. Seek ye the Lord, and ye shall live. Whoa. Woe, lest ye break out like fire in the house of Joseph and devour it. There is none to quench it in Bethel. Ye who turn judgment to wormwood and leave off righteousness in the earth, seek Him. Seek Him that maketh the seven stars of Orion. Verse 14, seek good and not evil, that ye may live. Oh, man. And so the Lord, the God of hosts, shall be with you as ye have spoken. That's what. How about how? Yeah. How am I going to seek? I think we can get this in. 2 Chronicles 19:3. I tell you what, our time's up. Come next week, you learn how. Dear Heavenly